You like to be happy. So do I. You like to laugh. So do I. But James, brother of Jesus, tells us to stop laughing and to cry. Well, you wouldn't want him as a friend, would you? Wouldn't be a cheerful kind of friend, would he? Stop laughing and crying. James' words sound very strange to us. What does he say? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. So James is writing about repentance. Let's ask four questions about repentance. And I promise to be shorter on the last point. So you keep me to my promise. Four questions. Number one, the obvious question, what is repentance? Imagine you're driving along the A1. If you live in Welling, you'll go Junction 6 onto the A1. Your destination is London. But as you're driving along, listening to your radio, you see signs telling you the distance to Peterborough. Oh, dear, that's the wrong direction. I need to be going south, not north. So, first opportunity, come off the A1 and start going southbound. You change direction. You're no longer going north. We don't want to go. You shouldn't be going. You want to go south to London. Life is like a journey. There are two destinations. You're either on the road towards God and heaven, or you're either on the road that leads you away from God to hell. There are only two directions you can be going in on the journey of life. And repentance is a change of direction. You turn about. And it's a change of your thinking. You used to think that you were okay, that you didn't need God, but you change your thinking. It's a change of your attitudes. It's a change in the way you speak. It's a change in the way you live your life. It's a change of direction and a change of thinking. We call that repentance. You're no longer living to please self. You're living to please God. So repentance is like a door, to change the illustration a little. It's like a door into the Christian life. But it's also the road on which we travel for the rest of our lives as Christians. So repentance is not just for those who are not yet Christians. It is for Christians, it's for all of us. The sermon is for everyone this morning, because we always, daily, shall I say, need to repent. We need to change our direction, to change our thinking and our living into what God demands of us in the Scriptures. So that's question one. What is repentance? It's a change of direction. Second question, why do you need to repent? It's important to ask that question, isn't it? Well, why then do I need to repent? Well, James tells us. He tells us that we are proud. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride is to be self-centered. It's to be selfish. It's to be thinking of myself rather than what God requires. It's to think of myself rather than how can I help and be concerned about other people. Selfish. We are, as sinners, we are, in our heart of hearts, we are selfish. But it talks about God gives grace to those who repent. Grace is a gift. God gives it. It must be a gift. And God says, here's my gift of grace, of my mercy, of my love, of a new life. Will you accept it? Now, in September, I get to a birthday. a little while yet, isn't it? Where are we? Well, a little bit while yet. But when I get to my birthday, well, I like to receive presents. Who doesn't? But just imagine on my birthday morning, Wendy came, now sitting on the sofa. I'm normally sitting in the morning, drinking my coffee, reading my Bible. Suppose she came and said, well, here's a present for you, Stan. I love you. And imagine I said, no, I don't want that. Take it away. Well, she'd be hurt, wouldn't she? Of course she would. It'd be an offence to her. It wouldn't be an expression of love for her, would it? And God says, here's a gift. And so many are saying, but I don't want that gift. I don't want it. Take it away. And God surely is offended. The Holy God is offended when we refuse his gift of forgiveness and grace and love and mercy. So we are proud. And God needs to humble us if we are to become Christians. Part of repentance is humbling ourselves before God. And then another reason why we need to repent is that we are far away from God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We're away from God. We've strayed away from God. We are alienated from God. We're like sheep who've deliberately wandered away from the shepherd. And we need to come back to God, the divine shepherd. We're like a son or a daughter who's left home. They've slammed the door, walked out of the family home. You don't know if you'll ever see them again. And here's a broken-hearted mother and father. We're like that. We've walked out on God. I don't want you, God the Father. I want to do things my way. But we must come back to the Father. And he is so willing to forgive us. Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, here's the father running to grab hold of his son who's smelling of pigs, he's in rags. But the father loves him and embraces him and forgives him. And God does that to us. It's as if he grabs us and says, I love you. Despite all your sin, I love you. Because of your sin, I love you. And that's why I've given my son to die for you. On our cross. So we are proud. We've gone away from God. But there's more here. He says we need to repent because we are unclean. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts, he says. The hand speaks of our actions. What we do. Sinful behavior. The heart speaks of what's inside us. Why do we commit sin? Why is it easier to do wrong rather than good? It's because our heart is sinful. It needs to be washed clean. The heart is like a fountain. Water flows out of the fountain. Bad deeds flow out of a sinful heart. And part of repentance is turning to God. Asking him to wash us clean in the very depths of our hearts. So there's a deep stain of sin that contaminates us. But here's another reason. James talks to his readers and calls them, you sinners, sinners, sinners. That's what we are in God's estimation. Here's God's diagnosis of our disease. You are sinners. And the idea is of missing God's standard. What is God's standard? It is given to us in the Bible. God says, be holy as I'm holy. But I can never be holy like God. No, you can't. Of course you can't. And you miss the standard. This word sin is taken from the world of archery. See the men with their, and women, bows and arrows. There's the target. The idea is to hit the bullseye. But the arrow falls short. Some, it just seems to miss the bullseye by a little distance. Others, well, it's way on the ground, totally hopeless. And there's some who seem almost to hit the bullseye. They're good, they're decent, they're moral. Others are far away from the bullseye. They've gone into alcoholism and all sorts of things. So it doesn't matter whether you miss the target by a little or miss it by a long way. You're still a sinner and you miss the target. And you're not what God intends you to be. I'll think of another illustration. when I was in my 20s, teens, 20s, I lived in Woolwich, and Plumstead near Woolwich. I'd walk every morning down to the Woolwich Arsenal station, get the train 8 miles up to Charing Cross, and walk from Charing Cross to Bedford Square, where I worked as a packer in a publishing house. But while I'm using this illustration, well, sometimes I felt a bit lazy and stayed in bed a bit longer than I ought to have done, I missed the train. I may have missed it by 5 minutes, or I may have missed it by 20 minutes, but it really didn't matter. I still missed it, and I was still late for work and in trouble with the boss. You see, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, some almost seemed to catch the train, but they still missed it. Some missed the train because they're half hour late, but they still missed it. You've still missed God's standard. Whether you're a good, decent, moral churchgoer, or whether you're out there and far, far away from God, you've missed the standard that God demands. And that's why we need to repent. That's why we need to come to God. Oh, God, I fouled you. I've fouled you so miserably. I've not done the things you said. I have fallen short. Oh, God, what am I to do? Well, I must come to you in repentance, because Jesus kept the standard. He lived a holy life for me. And there's one more thing here, why we need to repent. And that is because we're double-minded. He says in our text, he says, you double-minded. Double-minded, what's that mean? It means to be indecisive and fickle. Can't make up your mind. And there are some who hear the gospel preached and they can't make up their minds. Shall I be a Christian? Shan't I be a Christian? Is it really that important? What's this preacher getting so ate up about? No, you've come to a point where you have to face yourself and your sin. Face what God says about your sin in the scriptures. And there's a point where you have to come and say, Lord God, I'm sick of my sin and I want to turn from it and I want to sincerely repent and I want to come to you. There has to be a point where you make a decision, make a choice. Turn from your sin and turn to God. Fickle-minded, double-minded. So what is repentance? It's just a change of direction, away from self and sin towards God. Why do I need to repent? Because I'm proud, I'm far away from God, I'm unclean, I'm a sinner, I'm double-minded. But question number three, what does repentance look like? Okay, you say I need to repent, and I can see what you're saying, I can see what James says, and he's speaking as an apostle of God. Yes, I can see that, but what does repentance look like? Well, he tells us, verses 8 and 9, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Be you wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. That's what repentance looks like. So you're unclean with this deep stain of sin. And James says you must wash your hands and purify your heart. Now I assume that most of you, if I should hope all of you, I've had a wash this morning, maybe a bath. We don't have a bath in our house, but we have a shower. We have a shower. So you've done something about washing your body. And I guess that all of you put your washing into the washing machine. In our house, it's Monday and Thursdays usually. And you use soap when you're having a shower. Or you use a detergent when you put the washing into the machine. And you come out of the shower clean, we hope. My mum used to say, have you clean, washed behind your ears? But we won't go into that. And your clothes, you hope, come out right and clean, no stains left. So you're washing your hands, you're washing your body, you're washing your clothes. But you need to wash your souls, says James. And repentance is like the soap that washes your deep into your soul. Repentance is washing, it's clean, being made clean. You have to turn from the filth and dirtiness of your sin to God, who will wash you clean. God is holy. He's almighty. He's awesome. And in his presence, we ought to feel wretched. Wretched, that's a strange word to use. And yet James says that's how you ought to feel. That's repentance. To feel wretched in the presence of this holy God. You feel unworthy. You feel you're so sinful. You feel there's no hope for you whatsoever. You feel, how can God ever forgive such a sinner as me? That's what it means to be feeling this feeling of wretchedness. And those who feel the depth and depravity of their sin, they do not laugh. Their laughter is turned to mourning and to gloom. Have you ever felt like this in God's presence? You say, yes, I know all this business about I'm a sinner. Yes, I know all this about Jesus dying for sinners. I've heard that so many times. We sing it in our hymns. We hear it week by week from our pastor. Yes, but have you ever felt that in your heart? It's not just that I'm a sinner. Yes, I feel I'm a sinner. And if I do not repent of my sin, I'm in desperate need. And I'll be lost for all eternity. Have you ever felt that? Felt it so much? Did you turn to God and cry out to him to forgive you and to wash you clean from all of your sins? But how can a God who is so holy and awesome that you ought to feel wretched in his presence, how can such a God forgive you, you and me? Because he sent his own son, the sinless son of God. He sent him to die on a cross. He treated his son as if he was proud and far from him, as if he had rebelled against him, as if he was double-minded and filthy. He treated his son as a hideous or awful sinner. When he died on the cross, he took all of our sin. And God condemned his son in your place if you repent, so that God can say to you, you're not guilty anymore because Christ was guilty in your place. I set you free. You are free, and you are my son and my daughter now. I adopt you into my family. So he felt when he died the torments of hell that you and me deserve. That's why he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? They're some of the most profound words in all of the Bible. Whoever can understand them, it's totally impossible. But there he was, feeling the weight of your sin and the torment of hell for you. Oh, will you not come to this Saviour who has loved you so much as to die for you? There's a hymn writer, 19th century hymn, so simple. And yet it explains so simply why Jesus died. We could say lots of deep theological things about why he died, but the hymn puts it so simply. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Do you realize that? If you come to this Saviour, he's ready to forgive you. God will forgive you if you come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mourning and the crying is replaced by ecstatic joy, the exhilaration of being forgiven. Yes, it's the most wonderful thing that God should forgive me. And should I not be excited about that? Peter talks about joy inexpressible and full of glory. Peter said, I can't put it into words. But he's trying his hardest. Joy inexpressible, full of glory. What are you talking about, Peter? Well, it's better felt than told, as an old Scotsman put it. So what is repentance? It's turning away. It's a change of direction, turning from our old way of living to a new way. Why do you need to repent? Because, as we've seen, we're proud and we are filthy and dirty and away from God and so on. And what does repentance look like? It is feeling wretched. It is mourning. Instead of laughing, it's crying. Instead of being happy, it's feeling deep in my heart that I must turn from my sin, my filthy, hideous sin. If I don't, then I'm in danger of an everlasting hell. It's coming to God and crying out to him, oh God, forgive me. Will you not accept me? Will you not receive me? And he says, yes. Question 4. Now, I promised I'd be briefer on this one, and I will. You can look at your watch if you like. What does God promise you? 2 great promises here in James 4. draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Verse 10. So he will come near to you in all of your guilt, in all of your sinfulness. He will come to you with the gift of his forgiveness. He will come to you, near to you, with his unchanging love and everlasting mercy. He will come to you in your sorrows. He will come to you when you're tempted. He will come near to you when you're perplexed. He will come near to you when you are dying and take you through the river of death into his presence. He says, humble yourselves before God and he will exalt you. He lifts you up from the depths of sin into the joy of being a forgiven sinner. And when you die, if you're a Christian, he will lift you up into his glorious presence. And there you will be forever to worship him. What a day that will be. Are you eagerly looking forward to heaven? Well, you won't be in heaven unless you repent, unless you turn from your sin. And when should you repent? I guess that's the fifth question. But when should you repent? Now. Right now, in this very building, before you leave it, you could repent of your sins and you could go out a changed person. You could go out rejoicing that God is your Savior. Amen.